Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, as we turn to the inerrant, inspired, my favorite part, the all-sufficient Word of God, sufficient for everything that pertains to life and godliness. John writes to us in the second chapter to assure us of our redemption. And he gives us some very key evidences that we have been redeemed. The heart of the matter today, as we look at this, the purpose statement of this message today is a question. Is the love that you manifest the true love of God? Well, let's turn to his word in light of that question this morning. Our text is 1 John 2:5, but we're going to read, and I would ask you to indulge me as we read the first 15 verses of this passage as we wrap all of this study that we have been up for weeks now, as we wrap it all up in the next couple of weeks. 1 John chapter 2 begins with verse 1, and the writer says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him." Now keep in mind, the overall purpose of this series has been assurance of salvation. So many people struggle with, do I truly have a relationship with a holy and a righteous God? Have I done enough? Did I pray the right kind of prayer? All of those type of things that we hear our whole lives. And yet John tells us it's really fairly simple. He says that, "I write these things to you so that you know that you have eternal life. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." We've been through that. Are you a command-oriented believer? Are you obedient to the word of God? "He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word," this is our text for today, "in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we're in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you've heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even now. But he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for your name's sake," or for his name's sake. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've also known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And I would add one more passage from Proverbs to this. Many a man, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love," his own earthly, fleshly love. "But a faithful man," faithful to the truth of God's word and to the love of God, the writer says, "who can find?" Let's ask God's blessing upon the reading of his word this morning. Father, we thank you for your truth today. Now, God, help us to absorb it into our lives in a way that makes us more like Christ. And Father, for those that are here that know you, Lord, may at least the start of this message this morning bring a greater assurance of their redemption in you. May it edify and build them up for your kingdom. And Father, for those that are here today that do not know the love of Christ in their heart, that have never surrendered their life, have never placed their faith, have never believed on Jesus Christ as the Son of God, may your Holy Spirit do a convicting work in them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we would ask the question this morning as we start, why is our love different? That's our question for today. That's our purpose for today. I got corrected last week when I said that Diana Ross saying what the world needs now is love, sweet love. She did. She sang it later, though. Apparently, Dionne Warwick made that song famous. The purpose of that whole illustration is to ask ourselves, what's different about our love that we have in our hearts and the love that these pop singers sing about? The love that the Beatles, so we use a Beatles illustration, a Beatles song as an illustration. Let me examine it in the light of current events for us. We had a whole group of young people here this week, 5, 6, 7, all the way through 18 teenage years of age for Vacation Bible School. And how you guys showed the love of God to them. How you demonstrated the love of God to them by taking time out of your schedules and working with them with the crafts, with the refreshments, the guys that worked behind the scenes to do all the stuff that most of us never saw that was taking place. How was the love that you expressed? Because, listen, a lot of things like that took place across Wilmington, across North Carolina, across our nation this week. There were Boy Scout meetings. There was one real famous Boy Scout meeting. There were Boy Scout meetings. There were Girl Scout meetings. The Kiwanis Club met down the street. The Elks Club met down the street. There were a lot of people doing things for people. No doubt in downtown Wilmington, there were different things taking place for the people that were hungry, people that just don't have the things that we have to get by. What marked the difference between what took place here and hopefully what took place at a lot of other churches this summer as we put love into action? Well, the purpose behind all of it is what marks the difference. As we have been through this study over the past number of weeks, we know that the lost man can make expressions of love. They can make expressions of benevolent love. That's the feelings that people have for one another. They can make expressions of that beneficent love. That's where you put love into action and do things for people. But what's the purpose of it? Our purpose is different because the love that we express is wrapped in the truth of God's Word for the primary purpose of bringing people into His kingdom. And that's what you guys did this week. Every little thing that you did this week was an action or an expression that took place because of the love of God that's been made anew in you so that you could express His love to others. It's founded upon the finished work of Christ. It is founded upon His righteousness, not ours. When we looked at love, when we looked at that sentimental love, when we looked at expressions of love that we make towards one another, it often has us as the end result, us as the end game. It often has pleasing our desires, not the ultimate purpose of sharing and living Christ with others. Listen, we share God's love because His Word tells us that they know that we are Christians by our love. We share His love because our love reflects the love of Christ that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. We shared His love with these little children this week because Matthew tells us to love our neighbors. We share His love because Peter tells us that we have a hope that's different than the hope that the world has. And that hope is based on the gospel, and we share that gospel because we to love a lost and dying world. We share His love for one really simple reason, because He told us to. Because He told us to. John Piper has a message titled, "We Talk About What We Love." We talk about what we love. Think about that for a moment and ask yourself, what did you talk about this week? Did you talk about fishing? Nothing wrong with talking about fishing. I'm guilty. Didn't say catching, said fishing. Did you talk about cars? Talk about food? What did you talk about this week? That's a good message, by the way, if you have a chance to pull it up and listen to it. We talk about what we love. Or as one pastor said, when we keep our mouths shut about the gospel, it shows that there's something wrong with our heart. Have you talked about the gospel this week? Have you talked about that thing that you should love the most this week? The ultimate purpose of the love of God coming through us is to share His truth with people. And it's to live His truth with people. We live the love of God for all of those same reasons. Because God told us to. Because they know we're Christians by our love. Because we reflect that love of Christ we find in Corinthians. And because His love is the foundation for every relationship that we have. We should not have a relationship apart from it being founded upon the love of Christ. If it's with a fellow believer, outstanding. If we have a relationship with a non-believer, the purpose of that relationship should be to draw them to Christ because of the preaching of the gospel in our everyday life. Well, let's take a quick review. If you have your bulletin with you, there are 5 points. We're obviously not going to get to those today. But by way of quick review, before we get to the first one perhaps, John's purpose, again, is to assure us of a relationship with Christ so we don't struggle with that. And in particular, the love of God in us to be complete, to be full, to be continually growing. And let's not forget how John started this. We have to go way back as we started this study in 1 John. In the first chapter, John says, I write these things so not that your love would be complete, but what? So that your joy might be complete. Now, I get the idea that God does not want us to be joyless, loveless believers. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants us to be full of love. That is really the secondary purpose of John writing this little epistle. We've examined secular love in light of this passage and the fact that people outside the faith can express types of love. We've examined those that claim truth but have no love. And Paul says, what about them? They're just making noise. They're just a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. What Paul is saying is, you're irritating. If all you do is truth, 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 you just hammer truth, truth, a head knowledge into people, but you're not doing it with a godly love, you're irritating, Paul says. We've examined those who claim to have love but don't exercise it through truth. Now, Warren Wiersbe says that's brutal. We'll have an illustration for that a little later in the message, perhaps not today. But he says that is absolute brutality to have a sentimental, mystical, earthly, fleshly kind of love without marrying it with truth, because you're not serving that ultimate purpose of bringing people into the kingdom of God. So today we try to bring that all together under the umbrella of the overarching purpose of John when he writes, do you want assurance? Then obey His word. Listen to His truth and love with a godly love. John addresses it a little further in the epistle when he turns over to 1 John chapter 4 and writes, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. And he summarizes that in verse 16 by saying, herein is our love made perfect. Now, this is the same word that he uses in the second chapter when he says that the love of God may be perfected in you. He says, herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so we are in this world. Well, guys, that sounds a lot like the gospel. When we talk about the love of God that John's expressing in this epistle, it is just saturated with the gospel. You can't separate the love of God from the gospel. And so many try to do that today. And they do good works. They do good works. They have that love that we're talking about, but it's not married to truth. And the ultimate goal and the ultimate end when we express the love of God must be for us to share the truth of His gospel. What'd you talk about this week? What'd you talk about this week? Well, we talk about the things we love. Man, that's convicting. Boy, that's convicting. We want to sing the love of God at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, sitting in the pew with people that aren't, they're going to join us. But when we're out rubbing shoulders with the world, are we singing the love of God to them? Well, this is what makes Vacation Bible School different than the Boy Scouts. This is what makes Vacation Bible School different than the Girl Scouts. Is because we teach first and foremost that the love of God, a godly, biblical love, is first and foremost a result of new birth. the earthly man, the worldly man, doesn't know the love of God. He can't express the love of God. He can't share the love of God. Because the first requirement for us experiencing the love of God is confession and repentance. That's the primary point. And I would ask, what is the assurance of your salvation as we look at this morning? I'm going to read this. It's brief. If anyone ever asks, how does the fact that God loves you result in your loving others? In God's love being, as John says, completed. Another word that we can insert there is perfected. In God's love being completed and perfected in you, a sinner saved by grace, the answer is this. The new birth creates that connection. There is no love of God in your life apart from regeneration, the new birth. The new birth is the act of the Holy Spirit connecting our dead, selfish hearts with God's living, loving heart so that His life becomes our life and His love becomes our love. The old life has passed away. Old things are passed away. That old definition of love that we used to have has passed away. That sentimentality, that mysticism, that feeling-oriented love that really turned its attention selfward is passed away and is replaced by the love of God. His life becomes our life. His love becomes our love. That's the first step in God's love being perfected in us, is the new birth. The new birth. That's why the secular understanding of love is incomplete. All the songs that we used as illustrations are incomplete because they are without that new birth, that new heart that we have. And that's also why truth without love is insufficient. That's just evidence of head knowledge. A dead man can know truth. Spiritually dead person can know truth. A dead man, this was one of the things that we emphasized in Vacation Bible School with the teenagers. A dead man can know all the answers. Many of you have dealt with people that know all the answers, but there's no evidence in their heart of that new birth. That's truth without the love of God regenerating that person's heart. And that's why the believer, for the believer, love without truth is just sentimentality. The two have to be married together. Paul said in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That I love the illustration of Lazarus, and we'll close with this morning. I love the illustration of Lazarus. Well, there is not a better illustration in all the Word of God about what God does to regenerate a lost person, somebody that hasn't experienced the new birth to life, than this picture of Lazarus. Lazarus is in that grave, and he is dead. He is dead. I like when we use this illustration sometimes in the men's study, we often ask the question, why was Jesus so specific when he said, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he had just said, come forth, everybody in earshot would have come up out of the grave. Now, that would have been a sight to see. But Lazarus represents us in our spiritual death. But let me paint a picture of you that's even worse than that. Because prior to this new birth, prior to the love of God being manifested in us by this working of the Holy Spirit in our life, we were in actually worse condition than Lazarus. Let me make the argument for you. Because we were alive and walking around, but we were spiritually dead. Let me tell you how Paul describes that. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this old world. At least Lazarus couldn't get up and walk. He was dead and didn't know it. Of course, we're spiritually dead, don't know it at the time. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, or our manner of life, the way that we live, was spiritually dead, lusting after the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, meaning that we had not had the love of God applied to us, even as were others. But this is where we begin to see biblical love take root in our heart. He's given each of us a picture of His love in the Old Testament, and it is a beautiful picture. We'll go through it very quickly and close. Many of you have read Hosea. Hosea was told by God to go and take a wife. This is a picture of God's love for us. Folks, this is not a Hallmark card. If this was a Hallmark card, I'd like to see it. Because this is the way the Hallmark card would read. Congratulations on your wedding. You have married a prostitute, an adulterer, a wicked, wicked person. Have a good life. That's not a good Hallmark card. It's a Lifetime movie. It'd make a great Lifetime movie for those of you that like Lifetime movies. The love that Hosea had to express for, number one, the first clue to Hosea should have been her name, Gomer, that Hosea had to express for Gomer was a relentless love, because not only did God command Hosea to marry her in her destitute state, in her adultery, in her wickedness, in her wretchedness, but he had to go after her again after they were married in a relentless type of love. This isn't, if this were a fleshly, the type of fleshly human love that we talked about several weeks ago, Hosea would have been gone. He would have said, "No, Lord, I've saved myself my whole life to marry the Proverbs 31 kind of woman, and now you bring this woman in my life." But what that is a picture of God's if you don't write anything else down, write down relentless love, because it's a picture of God's love for His people Israel, and it's a picture of His love for His church. A picture of His love for His church, that He would send His Son to express that relentless love to us. He's given each of us a new heart, the capacity to see His love complete in us. That's what Paul means when he says, "We have been quickened, we have been made alive." He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, where He loved us, for we were His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Because of His love, we are created to good works. We can now love like Hosea loved. We can now love like God loved, with a purpose that is not turned back to ourselves, but a purpose for sharing His truth and His love with others. I would ask you to ask yourself today, do I love like Hosea loved? Do I love like God loved? Or is my love conditional? Is my love what's in it for me? Do you love, and here's the key question, with a new heart? Have you been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God to life in Christ? And then here's the big picture. If you do, that is evidence of your redemption. That is assurance of your redemption. We'll continue with this next week as we look at the four other issues of godly love in the life of the believer. Let's go to Him in prayer. As we pray today, I would challenge you this morning to examine your love. I would ask you to examine your love in the light of the gospel. Do you love people with a fleshly love, with an earthly love? Or do you love people with a purpose? Do you love people with the purpose of expressing God's love to them? As we pray, I would just ask you to examine your heart this morning. And then after prayer, we would be dismissed in song.